Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, the US President Donald Trump has said Israel should cancel the ceasefire in Gaza if all the hostages held there are not returned by Saturday. He said he wants all of them, not in dribs and drabs, not two and one and three and four and two. He said if they're not all returned, all hell is going to break out. He told reporters that Hamas will find out what I mean.
As far as I'm concerned, if all of the hostages aren't returned by Saturday at 12 o'clock, I think it's an appropriate time. I would say cancel it and all bets are off and let hell break out.
When you say all hell is going to break loose, are you speaking about retaliation from
Israel? You'll find out, and they'll find out too. Hamas will find out what I mean.
Well, he made those comments after Hamas said it was postponing the next scheduled release of Israeli hostages, blaming what it says are Israeli violations of the ceasefire deal, including the shooting dead of 25 Palestinians in Gaza since that ceasefire began less than a month ago. Well, Alistair Bunkle is with us now, Middle East correspondent with Sky News. Alistair, this intervention overnight, how important is it? Because we have seen previously the impact that Donald Trump's comments have had, particularly in relation to getting the original ceasefire deal over the line in the first place. So where will these comments lead us to?
Well, I think when it was the original ceasefire deal, his threats were aimed at Israel as well as Hamas. And his team, including Steve Witkoff, his Middle East envoy, was able to persuade both sides into signing the ceasefire agreement. This time round, I've got to be honest, it's unclear what Donald Trump means and what he intends. He's using the same language, all hell will break loose, but there's no suggestion that he wants US military involvement in any resumption of fighting in Gaza. And so it's not that it's necessarily an empty threat, but everybody here on the Palestinian side and the Israeli side, well, no one's clear exactly what he means by it. I mean, he was careful to say, you know, that's what I would do, but it's up to Israel to decide what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that if you're on the Hamas side of things, your main leverage, almost your only leverage left, are the hostages you still have in Gaza, dead or alive. If you release all of them on Saturday, in accordance with what Donald Trump is suggesting, you've lost all your leverage and you probably would be facing a resumption of the fighting regardless.
Yeah, and it does rip up the deal that Donald Trump and his representatives brokered. It was the deal that was originally put forward by the Biden administration and so carefully worked out and orchestrated. It hardly seems sensible now to say, well, that's not what we're going to pursue. We've got a new plan now, which will involve this deadline on Saturday.
Indeed. And Hamas was quite careful in its statement last night, whilst threatening to suspend any new hostage releases, which, of course, in turn really does threaten the whole ceasefire. They were also quite careful to say there's 5 days left until the next hostage prisoner exchange takes place. We are releasing a statement now in order to give the mediators, which include the United States, time to find a resolution to it. So there is time still. Some of Hamas's accusations against Israel, it's not clear how accurate they are, particularly in terms of delivery of aid. So I'm just looking at some statistics. Hamas say that only 8,500 aid trucks have been allowed into Gaza since the start of the ceasefire in the last 3 weeks, but there should have been 12,000 allowed in. The Israelis say 12,600 trucks have been allowed in. Now, I haven't been able to find the UN data as an independent monitor, if you like, isn't currently available. But the Israelis say we have been letting more than enough aid in. And I have to say, you know, aid agencies I speak to on the ground in Gaza are speaking about conditions being much better. But there are elements within that. There were supposed to be 60,000 mobile houses, sort of caravans allowed into Gaza, really needed at the moment. We've had some really stormy weather here and really some very bad weather, and the flimsy canvas that so many Palestinians in Gaza are living under is just inadequate. And it doesn't look as though any of those mobile homes have been allowed in. They've been held up Israel's worried they could be used for dual use, for, you know, repurposed for military use. So what we have is a squabble between the two sides over what is accurate, what is the reality. But what we also have at threat is this entire ceasefire.
Mm-hmm. And what are the other claims that Hamas is making with regard to what they say are breaches by Israel of the deal?
That the removal of Israeli forces from the Netzarim corridor was delayed. So Gazans who wanted to return to the north weren't allowed to do so at the moment when they were supposed to be allowed to. Now, that's true. That's accurate. But Israel delayed pulling their forces out of the Netzarim corridor because of that very chaotic hostage release almost 2 weeks ago, midweek, on a Thursday, when Arbel Yehud and Gadi Moses came out. And it was chaotic, and Israel was very angry about that. But subsequently, they have removed their forces, and hundreds of thousands of Gazans are being allowed to return home. And the other accusation made by Hamas is that the IDF have been firing on some Palestinians in Gaza. Again, that is true, but the Israeli side of the story is that these are Palestinians who have been approaching IDF forces despite being warned not to, and sometimes it's been warning shots in the air, and that's the Israeli side of the story. Interestingly, Hamas, in its statement, they didn't reference President Trump and his remarks last week that he's repeated again and again and again, mm-hmm. that he wants to own Gaza and force all of the Palestinians to leave, which would seem, I think, to most outsiders, if Hamas was saying, we will break the ceasefire if you still insist on evicting 2.1 million people from Gaza, then I think that would seem, you know, maybe a more reasonable position for Hamas to take. But they haven't referenced that.
Mm. And have you been speaking to anyone who has tried to guess why they haven't done that? Is because they simply don't take it seriously?
No, I think they do take it seriously. I think they are. Well, I know they are very, very concerned as are Palestinians in Gaza. And you know, what Donald Trump has to say often comes out as being rather left field, but can be followed through. So they are worried about it. But I have to say I'm at a loss as to why they haven't included that mm-hmm. in their reasons. I think there is another factor in here as well, is that Israel has slightly dragged their feet in the resumption of talks to move into the second phase of the ceasefire. They sent a delegation to Qatar over the weekend for 24 hours. It was very low level. The delegation they sent didn't really have much bargaining power. They were there to really listen rather than to negotiate. There's a lot of suggestion in Israel itself that Netanyahu himself and some members of his coalition don't want to move ahead with phase two. Netanyahu is under a lot of pressure to not agree to a second phase, otherwise his government could collapse. So I assume that, you know, that is also playing a factor in Hamas's thinking as well.
Yeah. And families came out last night once Hamas released this statement. They came out to protest, and clearly even more concerned now because of the condition of the three latest hostages to be released.
Well, I think Hamas is aware of this. We have seen Hamas use tactics in the past during this war that show that they are clearly very aware of the domestic, political, and sort of societal situation within Israel itself. You know, we saw weekly massive protests for 12, 15 months on the streets of Israel. And there was at times there were signs that Hamas knew that this was going on and wanted to try and exploit that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hamas was aware of the shock and anger inside Israel at the sight of those three emaciated hostages and the fact that there were or there have been really increasing calls from Israelis to Benjamin Netanyahu, look, you can see how urgent it is now. We have to get the remaining hostages out, do whatever it takes. And some people blaming Netanyahu for not doing a deal sooner when he knew that the hostages would be in a bad condition. So, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to conclude that Hamas is probably trying to exploit that to some degree.
And in the middle of all of this, Donald Trump is meeting with King Abdullah of Jordan. Now, given his suggestion in relation to Gaza, it'll be fascinating to see how that meeting plays out. There's also been talk of withholding aid to both Jordan and Egypt.
And Marco Rubio, the U.S. Secretary of State, has met with his counterpart from Egypt as well. I mean, the message from Egypt and Jordan is a united message. They completely reject this idea of taking in hundreds of thousands, you know, possibly millions of Gazans. Trump is threatening them. I mean, that's what Trump does. You know, he's threatening them with the withdrawal of aid. Certainly Egypt, Egypt is still, I think, the largest recipient of U.S. military aid, perhaps only second to Israel, in the world. So they are hugely reliant on U.S. aid. Jordan is hugely reliant on U.S. support as well. I mean, it's not that they don't give anything back in return. They are close security partners, for one example. But, for these countries, particularly Jordan, Jordan has a very, very high percentage of its population is Palestinian. And there is real concern within the Jordanian monarchy and government that if they put a foot wrong in this, that, you know, internally they will face massive protests. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a threat sort of within Jordan itself. So the idea of Jordan sort of acquiescing to Trump and saying, okay, you know, if you pay us, you know, a few billion dollars, we will take in X amount of Palestinians from Gaza, that would almost certainly play out very, very badly at home and could be a genuine threat to the Jordanian monarchy. You know, at least that is, I know that is their thinking and has been for many, many months.
Alistair, thank you very much for joining us on that. And I see that in the last little while, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has been urging Hamas to proceed with the planned liberation of hostages. But who will Hamas listen to? You've got Donald Trump threatening on one side, the UN Secretary General pleading on the other. That's Alistair Bunkle there, who's Sky News Middle East correspondent. Coming up next, why tax breaks for developers here could be back on the government's agenda.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.